You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in business into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
So then I jumped on the flight back to Australia, and I had like 4 days before I had to go to Singapore with Aladdin for our final season. And I was on the flight, and one of my industry mentors, I would consider him, from Aladdin, sent me the brief. I also didn't have an agent at the time, and I was like, oh God, like I'm about to go into this process by myself, and I have to just push, and I have to do the emailing, and I have to work out how I'm going to audition for this show when the audition started while I was working on Aladdin in another country.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you like the podcast, please rate, subscribe, leave a comment. That'd be greatly appreciated. If you're on YouTube, subscribe, leave a comment. Let me know what you think of my mustache. Is this the new normal, or should I shave it off? How about that for the comments? We might throw in a couple more later on, but... all right, I'll move on. Special thanks to our producing team, Broadway Podcast Network. Check them out at bpn.fm. All right, exciting guest for you. As always, we're continuing this theme of interviewing our friends from the other side of the pond, and I'm super excited to just keep making new friends. You've seen our guest in Aladdin and now Hamilton in Australia, as along with a whole other bunch of credits that we actually will cite in the description of this episode. So you could check that out. You can also check out his YouTube channel as well, his Instagram. All that will be in the description of the episode. So please welcome to the pod, Stefan Lagoulis. Hey, Stefan.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday to you.
Thank you. Happy Thursday night. Is that right?
That's correct. Thursday night. Yep. Just snuggled up over here in my hoodie. Yeah. Got some nice tea, mm-hmm. you know, brewed. Just trying to wind it down as you try to kick it mm-hmm. on up. So what does Friday look like for you? Is this a one show day? Just an evening show tonight?
Yes, just a day off, which is nice. Evening show. Recovering from cover calls the day before.
Yeah, so everyone that's listening or watching, Stefan is one of the swings in Hamilton. And you said, how many tracks do you cover?
Six. All six male ensemble.
Six. Can you imagine if anyone's seen the show? Can you imagine trying to memorize six other people's characters, where they're going? I mean, in all shows, swinging is challenging, mm-hmm. but I feel like Hamilton is like a level up.
Oh, absolutely.
Before we were recording, you had mentioned that there was like a crazy show when there was like six or seven of you mm-hmm. that were either swings or covers. Tell us a little bit about that experience and how you all kept the show afloat.
Yeah, well, we had literally just finished our cover calls because we, at the moment, our cover call rehearsal was Wednesday, Thursdays. And it was a Wednesday, and we were all like learning our next tracks that we have to like check off. And then the cast change comes through and we're like, oh, okay. There's a few of us on. And then 5 minutes later, another cast change comes through and there's seven of us on. There was five swings, including our like female dance captain was on. And then we had our Hamilton standby, Callan, was on, which I think it actually could have been his Hamilton debut, if I'm correct. And then our man six was on for Mulligan that night as well, and that was his like Mulligan debut. So it was crazy. Like half the cast was our offstage company. So yeah, it was wild.
Aren't those just the best shows? Like when you're up on the stage and you're looking at one another and there's just a little bit extra behind the eyes of you knowing like, oh, we better pull it together.
Oh, absolutely.
Right now. Like, this is,
there's a different, there's,
this is real.
There's
life.
Like such a different vibe. I feel when a swing goes on, like in general, when I was on stage in Aladdin, when the swings came on, it was like, you know, everyone gets this hype and everyone's so excited. And then when there was, you know, when there's seven of us on and you are a swing, it's kind of like, okay, like not only do I have to make sure I'm in the right place, I got to make sure that everyone's safe and fine. And the on stage are like, you know, if someone's like, wait, which am I going to like, hey, or, you know, but it's pretty cool. And it's also nice, like, especially for when it's people's debuts, it's nice to have a bunch of swings on because, you know, the onstage ensemble and company are always so like supportive and they have like, we have each other's back, but there's something so familiar about having the people that you're rehearsing with every day and rehearsing with under the show be on stage. It's almost like a safety net because it's like, I look around and it's familiar eyes and things like that. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, y'all haven't had too much time to kind of get quote unquote comfortable because you just started, you just opened what, March 27th or was that rehearsals?
Our when premiere day, like opening premiere was March 27th.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So you're what, April, you're about like a month and a half in or a month, month-ish in.
Yeah. Something like that.
check your calendar. Yeah. Let's go back to the rehearsal process. Mm. Now I had read up that there was some like, video conferencing with Thomas Kail and Annie Blankenbuehler. How much of your experience rehearsing was virtual and how much was just in the room? I know that it differs for each international production. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Going into rehearsals after 2020 was new. Everything was so different, you know, the masks and the protocol and even just being used to being back in the rehearsal space was very interesting. And just, it felt so foreign for so many of us and like it felt familiar, but just, you know, it'd been such a long time. So like going into that process, it was so nice because the company and the creatives really set this like rule where it's like, it's okay to be experiencing whatever you're experiencing because we have just come out of the year that we went through. So at the very start, like the first week was strange because everyone was so excited, but like, oh my God, like, is this really happening? For me personally, like every day was like, I can't believe I'm sitting in this room right now. I can't believe this is happening. Yeah, it was always just a bit of a pinch me moment, especially the first 2 weeks. So then when we started adding in the Zooms, that was just cool because so many of us look up to this creative team so much. And for me personally, more than I've looked up to a creative team in any other experience, like, you know, getting ready for the show and during the auditions, I would listen to the podcasts and I just find it all, everyone involved so inspiring. So it was so exciting. So then we had like Andy and Tommy and stuff pop up on Zoom. It was just like a moment because they couldn't be here. And it was, you know, we're sitting in their lounge room like we are right now. And Andy is like getting up and dancing and his dog's getting in the way. And, you know, it was so nice to have that connection with the people that couldn't be here. And like the first, I think... For all of us, like the first two times that we did the Zooms and like Andy would watch the runs, it would feel kind of strange for us because we're like, you know, it's this new virtual way of rehearsing. But after that, it was so normal. It was like, okay, so what day's Andy in? Or like what morning are we chatting with them? Or, you know, and like one day Lynn surprised us. They were like Michael was like, you know, I'm going to show you guys some history, like just get in front of the TV. And then all of a sudden Lynn pops up because everyone's like, when is Lynn going to come say hi? I was like, where are you going? And then he popped up and we're like, what? Like, so it was nice. It was so nice to check in with the team that, you know, waiting for, like at that point, really waiting for everything to start back up. And yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, so rewinding now, before rehearsals, when you get the call that you're cast in the show, that you'd be returning to the stage, I had told you before the recording that here in the States, we just recently got wind of like, okay, they're going to say 100% capacity September, whatever. Wow. So basically what that means is that some shows will come back maybe in September, but most likely later, maybe October, some have said November. And there's been this mixed feeling in the community of you know, how they feel about coming back. Before I make assumptions about the community of what all those feelings are, how did you feel? How did you feel about, like, whatever, safety-wise, or do I still have it in me? You know, am I going to be super rusty? How was that?
It's so wild, actually, just thinking back to it, because it feels like yesterday and it also feels like 5 years ago. But when I got the call, I was preparing to do a virtual audition for a show that was for Pippin that was being put up here in Sydney. And I was in Melbourne. And I don't know if you guys know, but Melbourne, for Australia, like, we had a really intense lockdown, like 8 months. We had a radius where we could only be within 5 kilometers from our house, which I don't know what that is in miles, but like, it's not very far.
5K is 3.1 miles. Mm. It's like a very popular race distance to do.
It was...
Wow, 3 miles. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. It was so wild. And like, you know, it had also been... Because I finished my audition process via video, and then I was waiting. You know, the process went for a year. So it just kind of felt like something that almost might not ever be coming, because we didn't know. And with the virus, everything changed every 5 minutes. And every time, for me in Melbourne, every time we thought we were going to hear good news, it wasn't what we wanted it to be. And the lockdown was extended and things like that. So when I got the call, it was like this crazy range of emotions where I was excited. And then I was like nervous, because I was like, oh my God, I'm swinging this show. I haven't danced in a year, really, apart from teaching on Zoom. And I literally got the call, told my mom, I was like, I'm going to be back. And I just went for a 2-hour walk, because I was like, oh my God, like, it's happening. Like, it's really happening. And then even within that, on the lead up to it actually starting, there was moments where I was like, is this really going to go ahead? Like, there were some cases around New Year's, and then we're like, oh my God, it might not. But then it was also, I was so excited and so ready to get back into it. But I was like, I'm going to Sydney, which means only an hour flight away, but I'm leaving my family, who I've, for the first time in my life, spent every single day with them. Like, probably since I was little, like, I've always been at dancing or, you know, working, or I'd never really been home for that much in my life. So it felt weird to kind of just be like, okay, bye now. And I don't know when I'll see you again, because, you know, borders were closing all the time and COVID just makes it so much harder. And then, you know, because our gyms were closed and dance studios and stuff had only like opened up maybe a month prior to rehearsal starting, I was kind of like, how am I going to make up for this like lost time and make sure that I'm going into these rehearsals fit and ready and strong? So there was those kind of weird like pressures that a lot of us put on ourselves going into it. But then like when we started, they were kind of like, we know that you guys have been in lockdown and we know it's been like this, so be kind to yourselves, which was really nice, because, you know, you go in there being like, I got to be perfect, like from the top. Yeah, we just learned it from the top. Let's do a show run. We haven't even finished the show, you know. But we were so lucky, because we went into it and they were like, be kind to yourself and your heart and your body, because it's been a long time. So,
Yeah, I think that's something important to hear. And for those of our listeners in the States or clients that are going to be returning to Broadway, that the hope and expectation is that your artistic team will sit you all down and say, hey, we are not unaware of what everyone just went through. So, you know, give yourself some grace and compassion. So that's really nice to hear.
Yeah, you have to. And I think it's also like taught people to just be kinder to themselves in this industry, because we're so naturally hard on ourselves, you know? So I think coming out of the pandemic is like, you know what, like, not every day is going to be perfect, but it kind of has to be, you have to be okay with like, that's your best for today, especially coming out of this. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, a lot of the times talking with clients, some of them will be, you know, coming back from maybe a hiatus where whatever, they fell off the wagon. And we always just have to say like, you are where you are, you know, where you were maybe 3 years ago is not where you are now. And it's not going to be where you are 3 years from now. Mm. So where we are is where we are. And we just have to keep moving forward.
Yeah, exactly.
A question that came in on Instagram from Sophie Holmes 64 is, what is your favorite song to perform in?
Ooh. Wait, in Hamilton? I assume so.
In Hamilton.
This is a hard question because I feel like it changes on the, like, on the daily. There's something about Wait For It that I really love performing on stage. And like in the track that I've been on for, I'm literally sitting on the stairs and like just listening to Burr and engaging with Burr and things like that. But there's something so special about that number. And I love like, come on, like I love the opening, love to do it. Love My Shot. Everybody loves My Shot. Skylar Sisters, we call it the cacophony section where like the turntables are going and it's like the big chorus when everyone's on. I love that. That is probably like, that is a section in the show where every time I do it, even if it's in rehearsal, even if we're marking it, like I get the chills in it. I don't know why. And then Yorktown's also, so maybe, I mean, I have four, maybe five, sorry. But Yorktown's also like such a like, yeah, let's go. Like it's always so good. Yeah.
So basically your favorite is the entire
basically
show.
All of Act One. Yeah.
All of
before
Act
people
one.
Start right, dying. Cool, cool. Yeah.
Right. And then it gets a little bit dark.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
How was it adjusting when you were rehearsing and when they started introducing the revolving stage? How was that to be able to do your choreo and do everything you needed to do and then have the stage be moving at the same time? Because when I saw it on Broadway, you know, and I'm sure your production, you all do the same marvelous job, you make it seem effortless. Yeah. How not effortless is it actually?
Oh my God. The first time... Michael Balderrama was like, all right, we're going to turn the turntables on and just have a walk. Be careful. We're going to do it on the slow setting, the slowest setting. Just have a walk on, have a walk against it, like going the opposite direction of it, walking on and off. And it was so weird. And we were all like, whoa, and everyone laughing and like holding each other. And then when you got off the turntables, like you would stand there and it still felt like you were on the turntable. So it was very weird the first few times, and especially being a swing, like sometimes you wouldn't have as many reps on it during the day until you had your chance to jump on it, or during our like scheduled rehearsals in the rehearsal room, which we were so lucky to have, you know, because some people, like the first time some of us got to like have a real go in it was when someone had a fitting and they're like, all right, we're going to just run this section of the thing. And they would always make sure it's really safe. And like, if you needed to, they would go back and like let you walk it and things like that. But it took, it's like, feels like it took a while to get used to, but also like that at the same time. Cause now we like walk on and off it like it's nothing. But I'm like, if you look back 3 months ago, we were all like, oh my God, Or like during our rehearsal the other day, and like we've been playing on the turntable so much, and we've performed in it a bunch of times, but now we're onto different tracks. So we're walking on the turntable a little differently. And one of my exits in Nonstop, the turntable is going like this. So like the inner turntable is one way and the outer one's another way, which I didn't realize because I'm doing different choreo in my other track. And then I walk in, I'm like, whoa, whoa, okay. So I got it, it goes two ways. So even though we've been on it,
it's like, it's like when you watch a kid get on an escalator for the first time and they're kind of petrified to get on that moving step.
It's so crazy.
Another question from Instagram. I won't tell you yet who it's from. Maybe you can figure it out by the question, but the question is, who is your favorite brother?
Oh my God, that is embarrassing. That is my brothers. Nicholas, my middle brother. Oh my God.
Oh, this one is from Noah.
Oh yeah. We call him Nicholas Noah. He's like, that's his full name.
Oh
yeah.
Got it.
That sounds like him. So, I'm my favorite brother.
So he put a nice laughing emoji next to that one. God. I wanted to bring that up because I wanted to talk about your background and, and growing up and, you know, how much theater was a part of it or not a part of it in your family. How did you get started?
Well, I don't really know how it started. Like, I just always performed in the house. My mom said that when I was born, I would scream a lot. And she would go to my dad, like turn around to my dad and be like, this kid's going to be a singer because he just doesn't shut up.
You were skrelting from the beginning. You were a skrelter from the very beginning.
And then, when I was little, I really wanted to do dancing and I loved it. But my mom said she took me a few times and I was just too shy. And I was like, oh, I don't want to do it now and things like that. So I was actually like a competitive gymnast growing up, like when I was maybe till I was like 10 or 12. At one point was like, I had to make a decision if I was going to go down the path of training for the Olympics or just do it as a hobby. And I kind of went down like, I guess like the competitive hobby side over here. And then I broke my arm and then I kind of just got scared and I was like no more with gymnastics. So then I went into dancing and I also played soccer, for 5 years. So I would do like the soccer dancing, like it was like dancing 3 nights a week and then soccer 2 nights a week. So always something. And then the older I got, I was like, I don't really like, I liked the outfit more than I liked playing soccer. I think like I liked the soccer shoes. And then, like when I was maybe, 11, 12, I was like, you know, I really want to really do this, like seriously, mom and dad. And, you know, we didn't like grow up with a lot of money and things like that. So it was kind of like a conversation that we had. And my parents did whatever they could to then take me to the next best dance school that was going to improve me because I kind of had outgrown the one that I was at. And the school that I moved to was like really musical theater based. And I was just kind of like, yeah, this is the one. And I just threw myself into as many classes as I could. I think the year I won the scholarship, I was still in school, like normal school during the day. And then I would go and I think I danced maybe like 27 hours a week or something like that. And like singing lessons and acting lessons and stuff like that. So I was basically doing like school and then like performing art school at nighttime. My mom kind of.
How was that?
I was going to say my mom sang. My mom is a great singer and she sang growing up. But. And like, you know, through her teens and early 20s and things, but didn't have the same support as I had. And so I guess she kind of, you know, she didn't have the same resources I had to kind of make it a thing. And she was also super sporty. Like my mom's not a dance mom. My mom's a soccer mom. Like, she'd take me to dancing. Like, I'd win the comp and she'd be like, oh, good job. Like, okay. And people would be like, oh my God. And she's like, yeah, like he has fun. Like, whatever. And my dad also, especially when he was my age, like he was like at the peak of his career as a soccer player and would have kind of made it big time as a soccer player. But then started our family with my mom and didn't have the same support and financial support and things like that. So even though my parents and my brothers are more like sports based, my dad was kind of like, he always says, like, you like grab your dream with both hands and like choke the living daylights out of it, he says. Because I think he looks back and he's like, I wish I could have followed my dreams the way you are. And so I'm very lucky, especially compared to a lot of performers who come from like sports families. My parents are just kind of like, whatever makes you happy, whatever your heart desires, like chase it, because, you know, you don't want to look back and be like, I missed out.
That's fabulous of them. Yeah. And, you know, always good to hear that you had that support.
Yeah.
Was it when you told them that you wanted to really focus on dancing and performing at the beginning, now that you've said that, like, they were both very into soccer, did you have that fear of like letting them down, or how was that?
Not really.
I'm not meaning to pry. Mm. I just think that for some of our listeners, it's a very relatable topic that a lot of us go through.
Yeah.
So
yes and no, because I kind of was making the decision at the same time, like, that I was like, I don't want to play soccer anymore. And my dad was the coach, and things like that. So there was like, I mean, they knew my heart wasn't really in soccer, and that I loved dancing and singing because that's all I would do growing up. And I think part of, like, I think my mom was kind of like, he's doing it because he has like the social side of it's fun, and because my brothers do it and things like that. So when I told them, I think the only thing they said was finish the year off. That was kind of my parents' rule with everything. Like, I hated swimming. I'm a good swimmer, but I hated swimming. And my mom's like, you're going to finish it and then you can quit.
No quitting.
Finish the year off and then you're done. So I think it was just kind of like, I don't want to play soccer anymore. They were like, okay, finish the season. What do you want to do? Like, and I was like, I want to dance more. I want to go to this other school that I'd wanted to go to for ages. So I was nervous only because I didn't want to let them down. And my dad was the coach and my brothers played. And,
do you think that mentality that they kind of instilled in you about finish what you start, you know, like not stopping in midseason, my mind kind of went straight to your year long audition process of Hamilton, and like maybe the times where, not that you wanted to phone in any of your auditions, but like eventually mentally you're going to get tired, you know, you're going to start to wither away a bit under this like long process. Mm. Did you tap into any of that as you went along?
Absolutely. Like, I mean, in like a quick way, my whole Hamilton journey was interesting because I was in New York between seasons on Aladdin. And I wasn't planning on seeing Hamilton. I hadn't really listened to the show that much before it. And I was like, tickets are so hard to get. I could only find ones that were like 400 US. And I have the worst sense of direction. So I kept getting lost. And then I would end up in front of the theater of that Hamilton's showing at. And the third time I was like, I'm just going to go in and see if there's a ticket. This is weird that it keeps happening. There's rumors that it's about to come to Oz. And I went in and I was like, do you have any tickets? So like, we have one left on the Saturday night. And that was my last night in New York. I think I went in on a Thursday. They're like, do you want it? It was five rows from the front. I was like, yeah, it's mine. Like, I bought it. I saw the show. And I left being like, I don't know how, but I'm going to be in that show. I just knew. Like, part of me was like, there's no ifs or buts. It was just kind of like, I'm going to be in it. It might not be right now. It might not be the original company or something. But I was like, I'm going to do it. So then I jumped on the flight back to Australia, and I had like 4 days before I had to go to Singapore with Aladdin for our final season. And I was on the flight, and one of my like industry mentors, I would consider him, from Aladdin, sent me the brief. I also didn't have an agent at the time, and I was like, oh God, like I'm about to go into this process by myself, and I have to just push, and I have to do the emailing, and I have to work out how I'm going to audition for this show when the audition started while I was working on Aladdin in another country. So then I contacted Hamilton Australia, and they were like, yep, send us a video. I was like filming my audition just before a show, like it was like a Thursday maybe. So we had one show, and I went to my gym, and I was like, can I use the yoga room to sing? And they're like, sure, no worries. Like, just let us know how long you're going to be. So I'm like moving all the yoga mats around. I've set up a little tripod. I sent it off, did all that thing. And then we got to do the auditions here. But then just before boot camp happened, we went into lockdown. And they were like, okay, so boot camp's canceled. And which actually would have just finished like a year ago, because it was meant to be finishing like around the 3rd or the 4th of May last year. So it's such weird timing. And they're like, we're going to do videos instead. Can you please send this, this, and this? And so I had to send the four dance breaks that we learned. And I had to send two harmonies, which I had just kind of note bashed with Kurt in my vocal calls back when we did it in like February last year. So I was like, okay. And after that audition in like February, March, I was kind of like, I got to keep working at this, because I don't know when they're going to pop up and say, hey, we've got this final round. So every day from my last in-person audition, I went over the harmonies in my car as I drove to the gym. At the gym, all I listened to for months was Hamilton, were the audition breaks. And like between sets, I'd be going over and like, you know, doing like this thing, like on the bench, and then walk around, and like people would clock me, and I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. But I was kind of like,
you'd be going over your choreo in the gym.
Absolutely.
Love
and
it.
Then, like some Love nights it. I would just run on the treadmill. So that way I had, like the stamina for it. And I'd be listening to the tracks on repeat. And then I'd go into like the group fitness rooms and I would run it. And then I just kept going over it and over it and over it. And then they said boot camp was coming, and I was like, great, I'm ready. I feel prepared. Like, I've been working on this. And then boot camp got canceled, and they said videos. And I was like, oh my gosh, we had a week to send them. And I think this might've been just before our like radius rule came in, but everything was shut. Studios were shut. You could only like basically use them if they were in your area and you knew someone. And one of my best friends owns a dance studio. So I was so lucky, like I got the key. And for maybe 4 days in a row, I was there from 10 a.m. till 7 p.m. by myself, filming my audition tapes, just back to back to back, no breaks, like running, pressing record, pressing play, running into the frame, and then making a mistake. And I remember the first day that I filmed the dance stuff, I was just so overwhelmed, because I was like, I want this so bad. And I've been working so hard on this. And I just started crying. And part of me was like, is this worth it? Like, I'm so exhausted. I'm so upset. And I've been going all day. And I just kind of, then my agent called and was like, how are you going? And I was like, and she's like, you've got this. Like, come on, keep going. And like, I mean, I felt like that, but in the back of my head, I was like, come on. Like, you've got this. And I think that is the mentality from my parents, where it's like, you don't quit until it's done. Like, you don't give up until the end of it. So yeah, I remember I finished off that night, went home, I like analyzed the videos. I spoke to some really close friends that had done the show in the States, and got some pointers and things like that. Or like, this was great. Or like, this, your timing here. And I went back the next day, and I, again, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., I filmed it all. And then I went home that night and I edited it all and like cut it up and uploaded it, and I sent it off. And I was like, oh, I really like gave it my everything. Like, I didn't give up. I was like, there was no way. I was like, after all this, I was like, there was no way that I could just give them, send in whatever. Like, that's good enough. I was like, it has to be my absolute best. So yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. I think that comes from how I was brought up, with like, you don't quit until it's done, or you either do your best or you don't do it at all, is kind of my.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Shout out mom and
dad.
Yeah,
mom and dad.
Well, congratulations to you. And thanks again for being on the episode, Stefan.
Thank you for having me.
So good to meet you. I'll chat with you in just a sec when we get off the episode to chat about sending you some swag and just staying in touch. So appreciate you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, everyone that was listening, that was Stefan Lagoulis. You can follow him on the gram at Stefan with two N's and a nice 96 at the end. But you can check that out in the description of this episode. Thanks again to Broadway Podcast Network, our producing team at bpn.fm. If you want to try a free trial of Built for the Stage, go to builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode. I'm Joe Roscoe. Once again, that was Stefan Lagoulis. Thanks for listening. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.